we wrote an article recently about how the role of the salesperson is diminishing in the sales process. People are doing more pre-qualifying online, and the salesperson has kind of become more of a sales Sherpa, maybe a guide. Ideally, that could help them make their decision. Do you see the salesperson evolving in this way, you know, less cold calls, more of a go-giver?
Well, first, you know, the successful people have always done it as a go-giver in terms of understanding that, that the key is focusing on providing value to the prospective customer. After all, remember, nobody is going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet. They're not going to buy from you because you need the money, and they're not even going to buy from you because you're a really nice person who believes they should own your product or service. They're going to buy from you only because they believe they're going to be better off by doing so than by not doing so. So a great salesperson, whether from long ago or even today, they know that really what selling is, at, in a nutshell, is simply discovering what the other person needs, wants, or desires, and helping them to get it. Now, the principles of selling haven't changed, but certainly many aspects have. Technology has now leveled the playing field in terms of knowledge. So indeed, as you mentioned, the prospect often has lots of knowledge about the product itself. So they may bring a salesperson into the conversation after they've already done, you know, a large amount of the pre-qualification or the legwork. Nonetheless, especially the larger the sale, the more when it's a complex sale or an enterprise sale, this salesperson absolutely is necessary because they know, or they should know, much more not only about how their product or service can works and can help that company, but they need to know from the company's, even from the company's viewpoint, how their product or service can make that company even more effective. Things that that company itself doesn't even realize. In the Challenger sale, the authors talked about that at length, and I thought they did a wonderful job doing that. Anthony Iorino and Jeb Blunt and their new books that have just come out, Jeb Blunt's Sales EQ and Anthony Iorino's new book about closing, where he says, where he kind of redefines closing now is the, you know, the end is easy if you've closed on what he called the 9 commitments that you've got to get along the way. So it's a different process in selling now, again, especially with the larger sales. But it's still, no matter what, it still comes down to focusing on the other person. And to the degree that you do that and focus on helping them acquire what they need, that's the degree that you're going to be successful. As far as what you were saying about cold calls, cold calling can still be, cold calling is still important. You know, I love attraction marketing and I love inbound because it certainly, you know, it frames it and positions it, in a way that I think is easier for the salesperson, that initial engagement. But you know what? That person who will also go out there and make those cold calls, and when I say go out there, I mean on the phone in this case usually, that person's going to have an advantage because remember, they are going to, when they can get through, they're going to be able to make that connection and begin to build that relationship even before the prospect knows that they need it. So they're the one that's going to be in position before the others.
Tell us about, you touched on the referrals book. What about the leadership book? Is there things you'd like to share with us about the leadership books?
Well, I think everything is leadership, and everything is influence. John Maxwell, the great leadership speaker and author, has said that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And whether you're leading a team of 5 or 500 or 5,000, leadership is what is going to move in the direction that you need to go. You know, you take the word influence, and I think you can define influence on a very basic level as the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually with the context of a specific goal. That's the definition of influence. But I don't think it's the essence of influence or leadership. The essence is really pull. Pull as opposed to push. You never hear someone say about a great leader or a great influencer, wow, that Dave or that Mary, she is so influential. She has a lot of push with people. She is really pushy. No, you don't hear that. You say she's a great leader. She's a great influencer. She has a lot of pull with people. And that's really what it is. Leadership and influence, it's attraction. Great leaders, great influencers attract people first to themselves and only then to their idea. And they do this by, again, understanding that great leadership is never about the leader. Great influence is never about the influencer. And great salesmanship is never about the salesperson. It's always about the other person, about their want, their need, their desires, their goals, their values. And when you can align your needs, wants, desires, goals, values, or the companies with those people you're leading, that's when you're going to have success. And you must absolutely and genuinely care about them and about helping them and building them, because they will know it. And that's the difference between commitment and compliance. And a great friend of mine and a wonderful leader, Dondi Scumaci, she says that compliance will never take you where commitment can go. When people are committed, that's when things are going to happen. And they're going to be committed because they trust you. They trust the leader. Simon Sinek, in his wonderful book, Leaders Eat Last, he defined trust as a biological reaction to the belief that someone has our well-being at heart. And when they believe you have their well-being at heart, they're much more likely to follow you. And so, you know, when we talk about leadership and influence, that's really what we're saying.